too much rouge, if I'm being honest, too. Rouge. I did. I went a little overboard on the rouge. I know.
Yeah, you did. You did love, like, a really...
A little rouge, a little blush.
Freshly pinched.
Well, because I'm
cheeks.
Quite pale.
Hi, welcome back to Under Our Roof. I'm Lizzie.
And I am beloved Canadian pop punk band Sum 41.
Why them?
I don't know. I've been going down a little bit of a pop punk rabbit hole recently. My name is Grace. This is Under Our Roof. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast about a simple gay old life at home. We're happy to have you with us this Friday evening after what has been... quite a chaotic week. Lady, do you want to catch the house guests up a little bit on what's been going on with you?
Yeah, well, I mean, with me, it's kind of just been a normal week, except for the fact that I've been alone.
Alone.
Every day, Grace.
Solo dog duty.
Yes, which is a lot of work, because one of our dogs has extreme elderly problems. We love him, though.
Well, it's not problems, it's just elderly.
You wouldn't call them
care.
A problem.
Well, yeah, right. I just mean it's not like a behavior problem.
Oh, no. It's yeah. just that he's
elderly,
really very senior.
Healthcare.
A lot of health problems. Okay, so Grace has been in the studio professionally recording a song this week. And it's been a busy week for that. So you've gotten home at 11 or something every night. And mm-hmm. I've been watching nature documentaries by myself and trying to make myself fall asleep without you.
Sort of your purest form, really, is in bed by 9 p.m. watching a nature documentary.
Yeah, with like a bowl of ice cream and my chihuahua by my side.
Yeah.
It is nice. I kind of have enjoyed having like some self-care time at night that I don't usually get. But I have missed you. It's weird. It throws off my routine.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much about what I've been up to this week because I just want to do this right. And I think right now I don't want to reveal that much, but the most I will say is going to be on the podcast, which is that, yes, I have been in the studio, a proper recording studio that my friend, a longtime friend of mine, owns now, and we've been recording together for so long. The theme song to this podcast was one of the first songs we recorded together. I've had a song for a little bit that I didn't want to put on Preacher's Kid because I just knew sonically I was not going to be able to do the song justice from home with my USB mic. After Preacher's Kid came out, he had a little bit of time. He's like, do you want to come through the studio and we'll try and work on this song? And it's just so much bigger, it sounds massive, and I'm really proud of it. And I hope that y'all are proud of me, and I'm just really trying to finish this up and put out a really cool recording. And I don't know the details on it, but I'm working my tail off, and I really believe in this one, and it's not sad necessarily, if that piques your interest. I wanted to play around with the fact that I was able to access divinity for the first time when I accepted myself as a queer person. You know, I think a lot of times as queer people, we're told that, you know, you will experience shame and guilt and all this stuff from people in positions of power in religion, and I experienced the opposite, and I wanted to write a song sort of from that place. There's no shame in this song, basically. So I think that is that enough of a teaser?
It's so good. I can't wait for people to hear it.
It'll be a big moment for us all, because I really think that this is sort of me showing a little bit what I might be capable of outside of, you know, just my little office with my USB mic. So I'm very excited for that.
Getting into our topic for today, we've been getting a bunch of really great emails at our email address for this podcast, which is underourroofpod@gmail.com. And I'm a little behind actually on catching up and getting back to everybody. Hopefully by the time this episode goes out, I will have caught up. But a couple people emailed with a genuine and very kind curiosity about Grace's, more specifically your gender journey, and kind of just wanting more detail about all that.
I see.
In episode 8, we talked
has it been obvious?
We did a pronouns and coming out episode.
Where we came out.
Yeah, that was the first time.
People found out.
in episode 8.
Our wedding was a friendship wedding.
But I do think it's a valid question that we haven't dealt that much with, surprisingly, on the podcast, which is the journey of gender. And
well, we both have one. We both have stories to tell.
Right. I think the questions have been about you, but I do actually kind of have a journey myself, believe it or not.
As I understand, the questions were a little bit about gender expression and presentation.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what I want to focus, I guess, some anecdotal advice on.
Yeah, I think we can kind of tell our own stories. And then I think you in particular will have some really great words of wisdom to share. And to start, we did do a whole episode on this in episode 8. But I think we should say, because we have gotten questions about this, our pronouns.
Sure.
Which mine are she, her.
For me, it's all of the above. A lot of people use she, her. Some people use they, them. I don't really think I have any close friends that do he, him, but TSA loves that. I really, truly am indifferent. The best way that I can explain it is like all of it works and also none of it works. Some people will use a variation, but I really am comfortable with all of it. I do appreciate when people check. I think that's really thoughtful. I think that's a new common courtesy that we're seeing in the 21st century that I think is great and very dignifying. But the answer is, you know, sometimes a bit more complicated than perhaps the question might have anticipated for a person like myself, which is that it all works and it also none of it works. So whatever inspires you, however our interaction inspires you, go off, speak your truth on me. I found an interesting article from 3 days ago in the New York Times that will provide a little bit more context for why I think this conversation about gender expression and identity is so relative to right now. So the New York Times reported that in 2017, a University of California, Los Angeles study found that 27% of California youth between the ages of 17 and 12 believe that they were seen by others as gender nonconforming. And more teenagers overall are identifying with non-traditional gender labels, according to a March 2018 study published in the journal Pediatrics. Some progressive synagogues and Jewish communities are holding non-binary mitzvahs. Non-binary teenagers are choosing non-gendered options for driver's licenses. So I think it's very timely, and I understand that this conversation is cropping up more and more once you start seeing it in more mainstream publications. But certainly this is not a new phenomena. I think it's just sort of become something that we're talking about more in Western culture, but we know that there are plenty of cultures that have celebrated genders outside of the male-female gender binary for years and years and years and years and years. So here's where we find ourselves today. How does this apply to me? I am 30 years old, and I was assigned female at birth, and that always felt kind of like a fun fact about me. Never something that I really resonated with. I was never interested in traditional girl things, but I also never experienced major dysphoria until my adolescence. And I didn't know the word dysphoria until I was in my 20s. So I didn't really know what I was experiencing. And I kind of thought that everyone hated these... Sorry, this is going to sound a little harsh, but I'll just be very candid. I kind of thought that everyone hated certain parts of their bodies a little bit. How do I explain this?
Well, do you want to say what dysphoria means?
Oh, right. No, that's good. Let's look that up. Okay, so before I get any further, and sorry this is so discombobulated, the definition for dysphoria is a state of unease or generalized dissatisfaction with life. Okay. Is that really what...
Well, I think that's why you would use the modifier gender dysphoria.
Oh, right. Let's look that one up. Sorry, my friend. Hold. Please hold. You're right. I was like, just with life. I was like, I don't necessarily feel that. Okay. Gender dysphoria. Reset. Pretend like you didn't hear that definition before. Gender dysphoria is the feeling of discomfort or distress that might occur in people whose gender identity differs from their sex assigned at birth or sex-related physical characteristics. Transgender or gender nonconforming people might experience gender dysphoria at some point in their lives. And that has certainly been true for me. Specifically, I have chest dysphoria, if you're wondering, if if we're all just sharing now. And I think with my hips as well, I've always been very self-conscious about having like a wider set of hips. My ideal body for me would be just like a cardboard alien, honestly, is like what I is like my dream. That's peak performance for me, is just a cardboard alien, just lanky, because I'm already 6 feet tall. So I want the length, but I want everything flat. I want no ridges, nothing discernible. I want, if I turn to the side, I want to disappear. Like that's my dream. That's just my absolute goal. Little cardboard alien. And I know that that is unattainable. So I know that gender dysphoria is going to be with me for my life. And the good news, my friends, and I can say this as a 30-year-old genderqueer adult on a podcast with their wife, is that it really does become manageable. And there are things that I've learned over the years that have really helped manage my dysphoria. Off the top, I have this on my whiteboard. I've been meaning to make a video about this. I started binding a few years ago, and I really encourage you to look up responsible binding and consult a healthcare professional before you do so, and to consult wherever you get your binders from on sizing before you purchase a binder. Like, all of that is really, really important. That being said, it pretty much is life-changing if you experience chest dysphoria.
Do you mind explaining like a little what that is?
Right.
Some people might not know that term.
Yeah, and it sounds so serious. When you say that you're wearing a binder, a lot of cis people will be like, oh my gosh. Like, I think they think that I'm strapping a binder with like duct tape to my chest.
You mean like a three-ring binder?
Yeah.
What?
No, people think it's really serious. Like, no. People, like, I know maybe my mom is listening, but whenever I've been like, yeah, I bind, she's like, oh my gosh. The reality is that I get my binders from GC2B, which we'll link in the show notes. I am 6 feet tall. I'm about 170 something pounds, and I wear
laying
a size. Well, yeah, I'm just, it
I
might
will
be
not
helpful.
Be giving my dimensions.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, these are my dimensions, and I wear a size large, and it's been really comfy for me. They're made out of like a spandexy type material. They still suck to put on when you're getting out of the shower, just to be honest. However, I have really enjoyed them. I've never had trouble breathing. I know sometimes people hear about that. First of all, if you are having trouble breathing, if you're binding, you are not binding correctly. I've never had trouble breathing. Just feels like a really nice, sturdy, like sports bra plus, you know? I mean, you know what they look like. It's not like, people think binding can be very like a really like serious thing. You think of that scene in Shakespeare in Love when Gwyneth Paltrow is pretending to be a guy to be in the Shakespeare plays. I don't know. Now we're really off the rails, but she does this. And then there's a scene of her like getting out of her like ace bandage binding, which you should never do. And it's like really serious. I mean, first of all, all right, I hope Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't hear this, but there wasn't a major situation that they had to bind down. So they were able to, you know, they made it seem like really bandaged. Mm-hmm. But normally that's not a thing that happens. I mean, maybe in Shakespearean times. I have no idea. I didn't look this up. Sorry, would you like to help me? I'm nervously rambling because I'm hoping that I'm being helpful for people
who have given
questions. But I also, you know, I'm still figuring a lot of this out on my own.
But let's back up. And great. I think maybe towards the end of the episode, you can give a few more tips because I know you have some other things. But before we get there, do you want to just give like a really quick outline of your journey to where you are now? Because you know, look and present differently, certainly in high school. And even when that was before I knew you, but even when we met when we were both like around 21.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty femme presenting for the majority of my life. And it's so exhausting. I mean, it feels very strange looking back on it now, because being yourself, like going about everyday life, should not feel like a chore. Like, being you is the chore, I don't think. And that's how I felt every day, like waking up and like just wearing clothing and like forcing myself to be interested in things and presenting in a certain way and like doing makeup and hair that I never cared about. I tweeted this out a while ago, and it's a little curt, but it is true, which is like, if you knew me only when I was femme presenting, then no, you didn't, because you like really didn't. Like, it was, I don't know how to tell people that. It feels kind of cruel, but like, I wasn't there. Like, it's all an act. And if you fell for it, and maybe I seem like a nice person, then, you know, that's great. And I do, and I am, I like to think I'm a nice person. Like, there is, there, certain things were a little real, but all of it was shrouded in a makeup-y lie, just a weirdly, too much rouge, if I'm being honest, too. Rouge. I did. I went a little overboard on the rouge. I know.
Yeah, you did. You did love like a really
a little rouge, a little blush,
freshly pinched.
Well, because I'm quite pale, and so I would, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I wasn't interested. Sometimes people are actually interested and curious at getting good at makeup. I was like, God damn it! Like, what the fuck do I have to do about like my face to like be done and leave the home?
Was there a turning point that you feel you started looking more like yourself? And
you know, a major turning point was cutting my hair, and it took a while to get to a point where I actually liked cutting my hair. It was incremental. And I think also leaving Pop Trigger, when that ended, I wasn't on camera anymore, at least not in that way. You know, like hosting on like a hosty host thing,
yeah,
is you're just acutely aware of what you look like. And I was still putting on makeup, you know, it just felt weird. It felt really performative. But I felt like with State of Grace being like an unscripted series, I was really able to like, there was no like dress like an entertainment host and also be you. Cause I don't know. I guess Ellen DeGeneres does it, but like, are there like mask of center entertainment hosts like on a genderqueer spectrum? You don't really see a lot of people like myself in the entertainment hosting space. And I'm not interested in going back to that space, but I think it was kind of complicated because it was like, okay, look cool and trendy, but I like to look like a lumberjack. Again, like an alien lumberjack is like what I want for my life, mixed with a little flavor of Harry Styles, if possible. But mostly, I want to look like an alien from a lumber mill who's listened to Harry Styles a little bit, like might throw on a pearl now and again. That's it. That's what I want. And that didn't really gel very well with, you know, talking about the Kardashians at 9 a.m.
People don't know Grace used to host a entertainment talk show called Pop Trigger. For several years.
Yeah, it was, think about like E! News. It was that type of a vibe. And I'm very happy for the opportunity, and it was my job, but it definitely was very freeing when I was out of that environment. Then I didn't have to think about, I didn't have to dress for anyone except myself. And that was very freeing. So I think that was a major turning point. And then just like cutting my hair. And I think moving to Los Angeles and being away from a compulsory heterosexual environment, which was college, was very eye-opening as well. Because once I got to LA, especially when I moved to West Hollywood, you're seeing everyone is just dressing and being who they want to be. And you're sort of like, oh, wait, this is allowed? Like, oh, wait, you can do this? And that was a huge, I mean, I don't think I own any of my clothing from when I moved here. Like, there was nothing that was working. There was nothing.
That is a very cool thing about LA. And I'm sure it's not the only place that it's like that, but it's the only place I've ever lived where it's truly just like, do whatever you want. And I think people might be surprised by that because they may think LA is very concerned with trends and stuff. But
it depends on the group you're in.
It depends on the group you're in. But in my experience,
In our group of friends, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like LA is like anything goes, which I love.
Yeah, the people that we're interested in, I'm sure there are people that, you know, keep up with trends and certain types of appearances, but not anyone that we would.
I mean, the truth is, we love keeping up with trends. Yeah. I feel like we love shopping and being and realizing, oh, yeah, that is kind of on the trend right now. That's so fun. I'm going to try that. But it's like, take what you love and just forget the rest.
There's no pressure.
Is the mentality in LA.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, there's no pressure.
Yeah.
So did you want to share a little bit about your journey with gender expression and presentation and performance?
Yeah, I will. And mine is a very more, I don't know what the word is. I don't want to say watered down, but kind of just
This is all a very personal subject, yeah. So we're excited to share it with you, but this might be coming out in ways that are a little confusing, convoluted. I think that's okay, because I think, especially for me, and I can't speak for you, but for me, it's because that's how it feels. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my best to explain this, but I'm still figuring this out myself, and I have learned some things, but we're just figuring it out. So, lady, what are you figuring out?
Well, I feel like I've arrived at a very happy place in terms of kind of the mentality I was just talking about. Take what works for you, forget the rest, has really become a guiding principle for me, especially since moving to LA. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love living here. I've never felt more like myself. And I think I'm in a place where both the people in my life and just the greater community that I live in is very accepting of people just living their truth, so to speak. But to take it back to kind of my journey to get here, I feel like in high school, I did not develop my own sense of style at all, because I went to an all-girls high school where everyone just wore like athletic clothes every single day. We did not have a uniform, but it was like weird if you dressed up, if that makes sense. So people just wear sweatpants or like leggings and a t-shirt every day, which was kind of nice. It was almost a de facto uniform, because seriously, if you wore jeans and a nice top, people would be like, oh, where are you going after school? What are you doing? Why are you dressed up? Because people just did not dress up. It was such a weird place. But that was one of the things that was weird about it. So then I got to college, and actually other girls from my high school and I could relate to the fact that when we got to college, we realized we didn't have any normal clothes and we didn't know how to dress, because people just dressed down every single day of high school. So then I got to college and I immediately fell into this group of like all these queer people, which was amazing. I'm really, really glad. From day one, I think it was the night before classes even started, I just through a friend of a friend ended up going out to dinner with a bunch of basically like the lesbian group at my college. They were all older, so I was the only person that was like coming in to my first year of college, and all of them were either sophomores, juniors, or seniors, which was kind of intimidating, very cool. Of course, like I ended up dating a couple of them. They had all dated each other. They looked at me like I was an alien when I got there, because I was pretty typically feminine, which I would say I am now as well. But when I fell in with this group, which was a great learning experience, although I'm not really close with literally any of them, my only lasting friendship from that era was the one straight girl in the group who's like my ride or die best friend forever. But anyway, we all became very, very close, and they were all much more mask, I guess.
Sure. They were a little butcher.
Yeah, they're all a little butcher than me for the most part. I'm generalizing, honestly, but most of them were like a little more butcher than I am. And they all were.
What? I just can't imagine. What is more butch than you?
I know. But anyway, I was very impressionable. You know, I was 18. I had just turned 18 that summer. And these are all older people, and they were so cool. And I kind of fell in with their trends and style as well. So I felt they kind of did pressure me. Like, what are you doing wearing all this girly shit? Like, are you even gay? Which I was, and is very aggro. Anyway,
you actually have received quite a few like kind of questions or side comments like that even since we've been together about like if you're gay,
or which
people like assume it's like that I'm like an exception or something.
Yeah, it rolls off my back now. I could not care less. But at the time, I did feel like I wanted them to really like me and to be accepted. So I cut my hair super short. I cut off basically all my hair. I like wore flannels, and there are some really
you were working it.
Shocking photos of me.
They're not shocking.
They're shocking to me.
They're not shocking. They're certainly, you're still not even at like where I've found myself.
No.
Like, but it's not like Lizzie went like doing anything major, but you were.
No. I had more of a butch phase though.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, so I went through that my first couple years of college, I would say. And then after that, kind of like second half of college and into law school, I kind of swung the opposite way, because I kind of went through my, you know, dating everybody in this, not that I dated everybody, but they all kind of dated each other. I was involved in some relationship drama, all of that, and eventually kind of shed that group, and they all graduated too. And then, because I was younger, and then the second half of college, I kind of got to reinvent myself, and I was like, oh, I don't like dressing like that. I started growing my hair back out, which took forever because I had cut it literally all off. It took like half a decade to grow it back. Next time I would have just gotten extensions. But I started swinging back the other way and dressing a lot more femininely. And then by the time I got to law school, where I moved to Berkeley to go to school there and didn't know a single person, which was the first time I think ever in my life going to a school where I didn't even have one friend or knew somebody. And so again, chance to reinvent myself. And I really swung like very far the other way where people would notice, hey, I don't think I've ever even seen you wear jeans, because I would wear like a dress every single day. And I loved doing that. I was living my Legally Blonde fantasy in law school, and I do not regret that at all. But I did hold myself to a weirdly high standard of like, I always have to be ultra feminine because that's me. That's what people know me for. And I almost wonder, looking back, if it was kind of a shield against being worried what people would think when they found out I was gay, which is weird because I was living in the most liberal place on earth. But
that's so weird. I had the same thing at Elon. So I came out, but I was still very like femme presenting. And I remember something that I would tell people is like, I'm gay, but like, don't worry, I'm not going to be like gay and I'm not going to cut my hair or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people would be like, no one even brought that up, Grace. Like, why are you talking about that? And it was because I was so concerned that, like, if I was too gay, that they wouldn't like me anymore and that I, like, wouldn't have friends.
It's definitely a lot of internalized homophobia that causes that mindset. But I definitely had that as well in law school. And I think it was because every other time I'd started high school or started college, I'd known somebody from my school before because I'd always stayed in North Carolina. This time I moved to California, did not know a single soul in the town that I moved. And I just, I don't know, it's like people are perceiving you for the first time and you have to show who you are. And I just felt stressed. I was like, okay, I'm going to be like the gay person. And there were a lot of gay people at Berkeley, thankfully. And some of them are some of my very close friends now. But I was still just nervous and I kind of projected this like ultra femininity as this weird shield. That is mostly me, though. I love being girly. I feel very lucky that what Grace describes with gender dysphoria, I kind of have like the complete opposite. Like, I am obsessed with my body, as weird as that sounds.
No, it's true.
It's true. Like, I'll just like
Lizzie will comment on things about her body that I'll be like, I'm so happy that you're experiencing this gender euphoria. What you are describing is my nightmare.
Yeah, I truly like get out of the shower and just stand in front of a full length mirror and like soak it in.
Never.
And my, I know a lot of people can't
relate to that.
What
I look like naked is nobody's business, not even mine. It's not important to anybody.
Okay. But anyway, I thankfully can just kind of exist in my body, which I know is a huge privilege that I'm very, very thankful for. But I've also let myself not feel like I need to project femininity or anything else other than what I just want to do. And I mean, the truth is, the past year, I've worn sweatpants or like yoga pants pretty much every day. And that's probably a lot of people's reality. But I'm really excited to, we're taking a couple trips in the next few months. And I'm very excited like to plan outfits again because I haven't really had a reason to. And I just want to be comfy while I'm working from home or whatever. But I'm excited to mix it up. And I feel a lot more comfortable now more than ever to just play with style and not feel like it has to say something about who I am. It can just be a fun outfit for that day.
Yeah, I think that is the benefit of time.
Yeah.
Some people tap into this at a really young age. I have friends that have just sort of always kind of known who they were and dressed to suit them, even going through multiple different chapters of what that meant, but it always served them, not other people, not the world or whatever. I did not have that experience, but what I've learned is that through time, you do get more comfortable with who you are, hopefully, and that makes it just so much lighter. Now I'm interested in, like, I want to do a makeup transformation. I think that for TikTok, I think that'd be super fun because I'm making that decision because I think it would be cool and something that I'm curious about, not something that I'm performing for other people to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And my hope for anyone listening is to search for that freedom and sort of tap in when you recognize it. Is there an outfit or is there like a pair of pants or a pair of shoes or a hat that you have that when you put it on, you just feel cool? Like you just feel like yourself. I remember having those moments when I was like six and my mom would let me order something from the boys section of the Land's End catalog. And I remember this long sleeve basketball shirt that I ordered. And it was like the first moment of gender euphoria because it came in the mail. It fit me just like I'd hoped that it would. And it has this like high neckline, like almost like a mock turtleneck type thing. I thought
you
it
love
was
a mock turtleneck.
I love a mock turtleneck, always have. And I was so excited about it. And I try and remember that feeling that I had when I was like six or seven and find that now when it comes to shopping for me. Now, what that means for me right now is I really like larger fitting t-shirts. I like baggier pants. I didn't love the skinny jeans trend, but I'm also really interested in playing it up with things that might be a little bit more, not necessarily feminine, but a little outside of the box. I have this red pair of cowboy boots that I ordered for a Halloween costume, and I love them so much. And they're not really like a traditional type of look, but they just add a little spice to an outfit that I don't know I would have been comfortable playing around with even 3 or 4 years ago. You're going to go through a lot of different chapters in understanding who you are, and just listen to each one. It's an incredible audiobook, your life, and what's going on in your head is beautiful, and it's worth figuring it out. I also don't want to get in trouble with any of y'all's parents, but I'm just going to say this. I don't mean to make you crazy, but tattoos have really helped me. I really don't. Take that for what you will. They might not help you. They really might not. I've not started getting work on my chest or front done yet, but that's something I'm really excited about, and I know that's in the works. That's something that makes me feel good in my skin, and hopefully they're things that are helpful for you as well. Is there any other like tips that you can think of? Oh my gosh, wait. Also, okay, now I'm really going to get in trouble with everybody's parents and friends, but you can cut your hair at home and you don't have to, but if you are like looking for like being read as a little bit more mask in public, something that I found is helpful is finding a haircut that you can do or go to a barber. Don't do it yourself, but in quarantine, I started doing it myself. If you shave like your sideburns, basically, it looks really cool in like a ball cap, and people generally sort of read that in a way that makes me feel really comfortable gender-wise. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Public bathrooms will be rough. I don't know how to tell you that, but that's just what it is.
I know we haven't been in the world of public bathrooms now for a year, but
oh, they're the worst.
Going back, I'll always go with you.
Lizzie always comes with me, especially when I'm traveling for work. I make someone come with me, but that's just kind of the way that it is. I will share, this is kind of a funny story to go out on. I was at a Christian event, not an affirming Christian event, as you'll soon learn, and someone asked me if I was saved in the bathroom, which is how I knew that my gender expression was hitting right where I wanted it to. Because the person was like, you seem lost. Like, have you been saved? Little do they know just like how interrogated and deep within my faith I found myself to be. And I was like, it's not that I seem lost. It's just that I seem gay to you. That's what it is.
Wait, what did you say?
I pretended like I didn't hear them and I went to a bathroom stall. Okay. Are you kidding me? I did not pause. I did not stop on go. I like absolutely collected my $200 and rounded the bases to that bathroom stall and waited until I knew that that door had shut. And then the auditorium or wherever we were was dark, so it was fine.
Nice.
Actually, was that a funny story to go out on?
No, I think it is.
It was? Okay. I have a sense of humor about all these things. I think that's the beauty of... That's the beauty of queerness, my friends. If you're listening and your family, so to speak, and you're a house guest and your family, we do go through quite a bit of self-discovery, and I think that there's a beauty in that because we develop these wonderful senses of humor and these points of connection with each other that I think is really rare, and I think it's special, and it means that, like, when we meet each other, when we find each other, you make fast friends, fierce friends. And I'm really proud of you, wherever you are, and you're going through it, and you clicked on this episode, and you wanted to talk about gender, and I know it's confusing, but I just believe in you, and it's gonna be okay.
I couldn't say anything better.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Well, on that note, my friends, we're gonna go have some dinner, maybe watch the QAnon documentary, or maybe something a little less depressing. But have a great rest of your week, evening, morning, lunchtime, wherever you are. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
I love you old-fashioned. I'll take you out nice. Give me some of your time. Maybe all the